Morning, welcome. Come on in. If you're watching from home, greetings. My name's Mark. If you're here and you've recently started to attend and we haven't met yet, I look forward to meeting you. I get to bring the sermon this morning. And I feel a little bit, doing this after Edward's announcements, I feel like a little bit like I'm following a tornado or something. It's like this force of nature called Edward. But great to have him healthy enough to be able to do these things. And it's good to be with you this morning. Before we jump into the message, I want to just do a quick update about the coming series. As I mentioned during the member meeting last week, we are, after we finish Galatians, shortly after that, we're going to do a series from the book of Revelation. Going to explain more why that is and why I'm so excited about doing that. But what we need to know this morning is there's a unique opportunity for the guys here, and that is that next Saturday, this coming week, the Men's Simeon Trust is going to begin going through the apocalyptic literature genre, and that includes the book of Revelation. So, if you find the book of Revelation to be intimidating or scary, here's a great opportunity to get to know the book and to make friends with it. And so there'll be information in the follow-up email to today's service. There'll also be information in tomorrow a special email that you guys will get tomorrow morning. And ladies, fear not. There are some wonderful Revelation study opportunities for you on the horizon and more details coming about that later. Guys, do I need to do anything about this? Just keep going? Okay. All right. So this morning, the series is Amazing Grace. We are in Galatians chapter 5, and Leslie is going to read. Leslie Avuada is reading the passage for us this morning. So prepare your hearts. This is God's word to us.
Galatians 5, verses 16 to 26. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Leslie. Let's pray. Oh, great God, it is for freedom that we have been set free in Christ. And I pray now that you would activate that freedom, instruct us how to live in that freedom, encourage us to persevere in that freedom, equip us for how to walk by the Spirit to live out and enjoy this new freedom that we have in Christ. We thank you for the gift that you've given to us in Christ and pray that you would help us unwrap this freedom and understand it and live in the good of it this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Friday morning, I was reading through the paper, checking the reviews of new movies, and I came across one that the reviewer gave a good review to. So before I actually read the review, I've learned to go down to that little caveat at the end of the review, and here's what it said. It said, the movie's rated R, contains pervasive, highly imaginative graphic violence, gore, crude language, and drug-taking, as well as copious amounts of bodily fluids and joyous sex acts. The reviewer gave the movie 3.5 stars, so that's a half click below Masterpiece. Now, as I read that, and I'd been working through this passage all week, I just thought, here's a list, and this sounds like a celebration of the very things that we just heard would lead people to not inherit the kingdom of God. And I felt this strange grief and sort of oppression as I just sort of processed through this blurb that I had just read. And I'm thinking, okay, what does it look like to walk by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh? And so I just kind of ruminated on this for a moment. I ended up just praying for the actors and actresses and the film crew and the people. This is in the theaters near us, the people going to this movie this weekend. And yet, at the same time, I felt this pull. I wonder how the story goes. Maybe I should just read a little of the review and just see what it's about. There's some pictures. Maybe I ought to spend some more time looking at those pictures. I didn't do those things, but I felt the pull to. You know what I'm talking about? You have experiences like that? You ever feel yourself pulled to do something that you know you shouldn't do, God doesn't want you to do? You ever find yourself doing something despite your conscience saying, no, don't do that, and you run that right over? If you know that pull and that tug, if you know that experience of sometimes ignoring your conscience, this passage of Scripture is for you. This sermon is for you because this explains the strange experience that we have as Christians where we are free in Christ and yet still in this conflict with the flesh. Do you know what we're talking about here? Does this resonate with you? The great theme of this section in the letter to the Galatians is freedom. We've seen, if you've been here over the last few weeks, been in these passages in chapters 3 and 4 and 5, we've seen how God showed people that what they needed to do in his law, but the law didn't give them the power to do it. It only exposed their sin and left them more clearly under the ruling power and enslaving power of sin. But then Jesus has come, just as we sang about so wonderfully moments ago. Jesus has come to break that power of sin and set us free. And what is this freedom for? Well, we heard last week this freedom isn't to do whatever we want. That's not what we're set free for. But the freedom is to, in love, serve one another. That was the language of last week's passage. And now we're going to get a little more practical and specific about what this looks like. So, questions to bring into this passage. What does it look like to live in Christian freedom? How can we enjoy this freedom? As you go to work, when you're walking down the hall to a child's room that's crying in the middle of the night, you're working on your taxes, driving in traffic. What does it look like? How can we enjoy this freedom that we have in Christ? How does it work? So verse 16 in this passage, if you've ever read an article, verse 16 is like the headline, and the rest of the passage sort of fills out what's put there for us in the headline. So verse 16, just hear it again. But I say, walk, that's a command, that's not a suggestion, that's a command. Walk by the Spirit, and there'll be an outcome. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So there's a pattern to this. It's a little different than the pattern we saw last week. The pattern this week is this, not that. A, not B. Walk by the Spirit, and you won't fulfill, satisfy, gratify the desires of the flesh. So what we're about to see this morning is how the Spirit is crucial to living out our freedom, and we are also going to see, it's embedded right here, that the Spirit has an opponent. What's that opponent? Right there in verse 16. That opponent is the flesh, the desires of the flesh. How can we enjoy our freedom in Christ? Here's what I believe this passage is intended to persuade us of, and that is this. If we're going to enjoy this freedom that we have in Christ, we must learn to depend on the Spirit in our struggle with the flesh. Easy to forget about the Spirit in the Christian life. Easy to forget about the flesh in the Christian life. But if we're going to enjoy the freedom that we have in Christ, we must learn to depend on the Spirit in that struggle with the flesh. So let's see how this unfolds back to verse 16, where we are encouraged to and learn to live by the Spirit's power. Look at verse 16 again with me. I just read it. I'm going to read it once more. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For, verse 17, the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want. Now, if you were here last week, if you've been in this study, I want you to try to bring forward what we've been hearing, because we have a fact that we learned last week, and then we have something new added. Now, the fact that we learned last week is that Christians have conflict in their hearts, right? You know that you're learning that about your heart, right? There's a conflict. We saw in verse 13, you were called to freedom, but don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. So there's this conflict, freedom, opportunity for the flesh. Which one, which way am I going to go? So we saw that last week. And last week, this important concept of the flesh was introduced to us. And we learned last week that the flesh here, the way it's used, isn't the skin and bones of your body, but the flesh is that old sinful self-interest that craves whatever God forbids. It desires, not what God desires, but to go its own way. Now, that's opponent number one in this battle. But today, here in this passage, we're introduced to the second participant in this great conflict that's going on right now in your heart. What's that? What's the second person or participant in this conflict? Well, it's right there throughout this passage. In fact, I think the Spirit is mentioned 8 times in this passage. Now, we got a forecast of this back in chapter 4 when Paul tells us, hey, because you're sons, that means because you have all the rights and privileges of a firstborn son, because you're sons in God's family, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So here's the triune God. God sending the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. That's your situation now in Christ. But the Spirit has your heart and is in your heart, but isn't alone in there. There's this great, it's like an MMA match going on inside of you, and that's happening right now. And some of you are acutely aware of that right now. Don't take my word for this. Verse 17 tells us this explicitly. Look again. Look at verse 17. For the desires of the flesh are against what? The Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against what? The flesh. These are opposed to one another, to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So there is this, can you see this opposition and this hostility that goes on inside of you? The Spirit has desires. The Spirit wants to conform you to the image of Christ. He wants Christ to be formed in you. But the flesh wants to take you the other direction. The flesh desires to take you in directions that God forbids. And all this is going on inside you. A few years ago, I began to experience steady pain in my knee, and it was keeping me from running and exercising. And so I went and saw the doctor, and he ordered an MRI. Wow, what a wonder. Without any knives or incisions, they have this machine. And when I went and met with the doctor, he showed me, well, here's your bone, and here's the cartilage, and here's the patellar tendon that's causing all the trouble. And I could see all that stuff that was going on inside me. This machine is like a miracle. It shows me all the stuff that's going on inside me. What if you could do an MRI for your heart? What would you see? Your soul, your inner life. Do you know what that MRI would reveal? The Spirit and the flesh both present. Now, crucial moment here. it would seem possibly that these are two equal opponents. It would seem possibly that the outcome is in question, but it's not. Because if we look carefully in our text, look at verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Hear that. The Spirit is greater than the flesh. The Spirit is a greater power than the flesh. He says it again in verse 18. Look at verse 18. "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." What does that mean? Well, remember, when someone is under the law, they're imprisoned by the law, enslaved to sin. But Christ has come and set you free. Christ has come and broken sin's ruling power. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. We just sang that. And now the Spirit is there to enforce the victory that Christ has achieved for us. So, two powers opposed to each other in your hearts, but the outcome, the victor, is not in question. The battle is real, but the victor is the Spirit. So, how can we learn to enjoy our freedom in Christ? We must learn to live by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit in our struggle with the flesh. That's a step, an important step in enjoying this freedom that you have in Christ. The second one is this. Paul wants us to think carefully about where things are going in our lives. He's pointing us to the future. He's saying, I'm going to do a compare and a contrast, and I want you to think carefully about the outcome of your life. And he gives us these two lists, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's easy to kind of skim through these lists, and he doesn't unpack these. He doesn't preach through each one of these things. They function together to build two pictures that we need to see. And I think it would be helpful for us to just slow down, especially on the first list, so that we can understand the composite picture that he's assembling for us here. The works of the flesh. Look back there with me, please, at verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are evident." They are obvious. And following that, then, there's a list with 15 items. Those 15 items appear in kind of four groups. The groups, they're grouped together sort of thematically. So the first group is this: sexual immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Those kind of hang together because they all relate to sexual immorality. What are we talking about here? What is sexual immorality? Well, we always want to remember the starting point. Sex is a good gift from God. It's God's idea. It's part of his design. And it's a good gift from God to be enjoyed as a loving expression of unity within a marriage for life between one man and one woman. Those are the constraints, the boundaries in which the garden of sex is to be enjoyed. Anything, any sexual activity outside of those boundaries is immoral, is sexual immorality. It doesn't matter if it's heterosexual, homosexual. It doesn't matter if it's two people who are married to other people or two people who are unmarried or three people or whatever it is. If it's outside those boundaries, that's sexual immorality. And impurity is just the dirtiness, the uncleanness that's generated by that kind of behavior. And sensuality is the lack of restraint. It's the unrestrained passions that can come with that. So that's the first thing he highlights. And that's maybe kind of what you might expect when you think about, well, what's the bad stuff in the world, okay? The next two focus on worship, idolatry and sorcery. Idolatry has to do with our hearts, where we look for, where we trust and what we look to for hope, for happiness, for significance and security. And if we look to the created things, anything in creation for those things, then we've made an idol of creation because we're intended to find those things from the Creator. And sorcery is sort of an outgrowth of that. It's occult and pagan religious practices. The third group is a little surprising, and it's the biggest group. 8 items on the third group. This third group has to do with how the works of the flesh, how sin is fundamentally antisocial. Listen to these words. Let me just roll through them. Enmity. What does that mean? That means hostilities. It's in the plural, hostilities. Strife. That means quarreling. Jealousy. You know what jealousy is? It's not being satisfied with what God has given you, but craving what others have. Fits of anger. Well, venting your rage on other people. Rivalries. Rivalry is when selfish ambition makes everyone else a rival and everything a competition and you have to win. Dissensions. Dissensions are what happens when someone fragments and fractures community. On a soccer team, on your team at work, in a family, in a church, wherever. Dissensions. Divisions, well, see dissensions. Envy, see jealousy. 8 items. Why? Here's a question to ponder. I'm not going to answer it. I'm going to leave this with you. Why do churches need to be warned about sin's antisocial power? Chew on that one this week. I'd encourage you. And group 4, 2 more that speak to, and the theme here is unrestrained living. Drunkenness and orgies, which is really a reference probably to the wild parties that would where drunkenness would be a part of, but not all that's going on there. And he closes the list out by saying, and things like these. In other words, this is not an exhaustive list. More things could be said. Let's slow down here. There's a warning here. He says, I warn you, I am warning you now, as I warned you before, that those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's not saying Christians who struggle with these things and sometimes fail. He's not saying Christians who still feel the pull of these things in their hearts. No, he's saying those who continually do these things, those whose lives are given over to these things, those who celebrate these things. When you die, life in heaven with God is not in your future. Those who reject God here will be rejected by Him on the last day and sent to hell forever. It's a very sober warning. But this God, He loves you, and He's calling you today. If this is your life being described here, can I ask you this morning, are you tired of the disappointments and the emptiness and the guilt of living life in God's world without God? God has brought you here today. God got you to turn on this live stream here today to offer you hope and forgiveness and freedom and new life in Christ. And if you will turn from your sins and call on Jesus Christ, you can be welcomed into God's family, and He will put His Spirit in you and set you free. Won't you come to Him today? That's list 1. The second list is the fruit of the Spirit. 9 items. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, let's do this. Would you read that list with me? Let's just read these 9 items together. Say it out loud with me, would you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Just want to encourage you, take this list with you into your week. There's 9 items here. Maybe meditate over these things, pray about these things, have conversations with people. what is gentleness all about? What does it really look like to live a good life? Maybe take one a day and just meditate on one of these as you go through your day. And I want to encourage you, as you think about that list, what would it look like if somebody actually lived that way? What would it look like to know someone who was abounding in that fruit? Well, I know what it would look like, because that's who Jesus is. Do you know that list? That's just a description of the character of Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit has come to work in you, brothers and sisters, He is forming Christ in you so that you can bear this fruit and day by day resemble Jesus more and more. I love that it says, against these things, such things, there is no law. What does that mean? My neighborhood, we have a speed limit. It's 25 miles an hour. If people drive 50 miles an hour in my neighborhood, that's bad things are going to happen. People are going to get hurt. There's a speed limit because dangerous and bad things happen if you go over the limit. Do you know what? With the fruit of the Spirit, there's no limit. There's no speed limit on joy. There's no speed limit on love. There's no one that's going to say, look, hey, we got to put a lid on your goodness. Like, it's just getting a little out of control here. Like, if you keep getting more good, bad things are going to happen. Like, no, this is fruit that can abound and abound and increase, and it will only be a blessing to you in the world. How can we grow this kind of fruit? Because notice carefully, this isn't a command to stop doing these set of behaviors and put a different set of behaviors on instead. In fact, I love the headline. You remember what it says? If you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the what? The desires of the flesh. See, the problem isn't just doing bad things. And change doesn't come from just trying to stop doing bad things and start doing good things. No, you got to get deeper than that. That's why the gospel is so powerful. Because the gospel gets to the control center of your life and it changes what you want. It changes your desires. And so this isn't just the behavior of the Spirit. This is the fruit of a new set of desires of going God's way. And this comes out of a relationship with God. This fruit develops gradually. Plants need the right conditions. But if you've got the right plant in the right place, the conditions are good, good fruit will come. It will come gradually, but it will come. And that's what takes us to the last point. A little more practical. How can we keep in step with the Spirit? Let's work out how to keep in step with the Spirit. Look at verse 24 with me. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Just going to make two comments from these verses. First, if you're going to live in the good of your freedom and enjoy it, you need to remember what you've done. I'm about to tell you about something that you've done, and you may not even realize that you've done it. Look back in verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus. Okay, if you're a brother or sister in Christ, that's you, right? Okay, do you belong to Christ? Okay, check this out. Listen carefully. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, if you've been reading through Galatians, this may sound similar. You may think, hey, back in chapter 2, didn't he talk about something like this? And he does. We heard a mention of crucifixion back in chapter 2, but it's a little different. See if you can see the difference here. Back in chapter 2, verse 20, we're told, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Think about what's being said here. There's a crucifixion that happens to us. I have been crucified, passive voice. I have been crucified with Christ. That's something that happens to us. It's a way of describing the death and the good news, the resurrection that we experience as we are united with Christ on the cross in his death and then united in his resurrection. I've been crucified with Christ. But that's not what chapter 5, verse 24 says, is it? Look again. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. This is the active voice. This isn't something that happens to you. This is something you have done. It's something done by us. Did you know that you have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires? When did you do this? When you became a Christian, this is what you were doing. When you repented from your sins and trusted in Christ, when you actively and decisively turned to Jesus, what you were doing was you're saying, that old life, that life of sinful self-interest, I'm putting it up on the cross. I am done with it. I am dying to that way of living. That old self, I'm done with you now. You are not in charge anymore, and I'm not going your way anymore. I'm a child of God through Christ. So you have done this. This is part of your bio, your resume. Add it to the list if you didn't realize it was on there. And you say, that's great, but Mark, I got to tell you, the flesh doesn't actually feel very dead right now. And I'm with you. I get that. But we need to get something crucial here, and that is this. Even though the flesh doesn't feel very dead, because it's still opposing the spirit, that tug that we feel in our bodies is, in our hearts and minds, is reality. But the reality that comes with it is this. Its days are numbered. And its ruling power has been broken. There's a new sheriff in town. The Spirit's in charge of your heart. And those are the desires that you can fulfill day by day, moment by moment, more and more. Now, as long as we live in these bodies, we're going to have this battle. But the flesh's days are numbered. And when we make it to the new creation, it won't make it with us. And isn't that good news? So we need to remember what we've done. And then we need to live in a humbly dependent relationship with the Spirit. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Have you noticed the language in this passage about the Spirit? Listen to the phrases. Walk by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. What do you notice about that language? What do you notice about those images? It's relational, isn't it? You walk with someone. You're led by someone. You keep in step with someone. What does that look like? You take walks with people. Leslie and I love to walk together. When we are sitting in the living room and we say, hey, let's go for a walk. Okay, great, let's do that. She doesn't then sneak out the garage door and charge out on her own without letting me know and go for that walk by herself, because that's not walking together. We go out the door together. We walk on the sidewalk together. It's a relational experience. And as we walk, you know what we do? We talk. We have these conversations that go back and forth. So what does it look like to walk by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit? Well, the first step is to recognize that you're in a relationship with a person. The Spirit is a divine person, and you're in a relationship with this person. And so you can have conversations with this person. How do you do that? Well, check this out. Did you know that the Spirit wrote a book? Did you know that? It's called the Bible. It's his book. He loves to talk to you through the book. And you can talk back to him as you read the book. You can have conversations. And you can talk to him even when you're not reading the book. You're walking into a tough meeting at work. You're feeling that rising anger with one of your kids. You're about to go out on a date with someone and you're a little nervous. These are all moments when you can say, oh, Spirit of God, I want to walk with you now. Would you help me? Would you help me walk by your power, not gratify the desires of the flesh? That moment of temptation. Lord, I feel the pull of this right now. I need your power to walk in your ways, to not gratify the desires of the flesh. Or how about that moment after you failed and you did it again and you sinned again? Oh, Spirit of God, would you help me remember that what Jesus did, he did for me and he did for this, and he did it once for all. And you can remember what the Spirit says to you in 1 John. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can have conversations with the Spirit like that. We want to learn to live in a humbly dependent relationship with the Spirit. What a stunning, amazing, spectacular new life we have in Christ. Amazing grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Amen? Let's pray. Oh God, why would you pay such a dear price to free people like us from our flesh, from our self-centered living, from our enslavement to the lies of the enemy? God, we cannot understand your mercy and grace, but we can thank you for it. Amazing grace to sinners like us. Thank you for it. And I pray as we sing, as we go into our afternoon, as we go into our week, I pray, oh God, Spirit of God, would you empower us to keep in step with you, to walk with you, to not gratify the desires of the flesh, but instead to bear the fruit of the Spirit for the glory of our great and saving God, I pray. Amen.